As always, on Monday evenings is Brent Beard of First Coast News, also co-host of the SEC and Helping podcast. Brent, how are you doing today?
Well, I'm doing okay. We've got a nice weather change here. Going to be a lot cooler over the next 2 or 3 days in the Jacksonville area in Florida, so we're okay with that. Enjoyed that we had spring games. I think a lot of people probably missed them because they were on SEC Network Plus.
Yeah.
So I'm frankly will be very interested to see what the network does as far as getting some pushback from that from fans. So that frankly is going to be interesting. But again, we've got three to go: Ole Miss, Tennessee, and LSU coming up this weekend.
Yeah, and I also hope that your Easter was a good one as well.
It was. I actually got to be able to go see my daughters up in Georgia, so we certainly enjoyed that. I hope everybody listening had a wonderful Easter and enjoyed time with the family and realized the importance of Resurrection Day, but it's good to be back tonight.
Absolutely. So as you mentioned, an action-packed weekend. I want to jump to Florida first, though. So obviously their game a little bit different on Thursday night. One of the questions coming in is, how is Anthony Richardson going to look, and what exactly is the game going to just be like? But a good response, I would say, from the fans themselves, also recognition of how good Anthony Richardson could be with this system. He was one of the guys that proved that he is the guy at quarterback, I feel like, for this team this fall.
Jack Miller is probably the backup, but Richardson's a guy. There's no question about that. Are they going to be able to protect him in these first two games against Utah and Kentucky is going to be vital. Obviously, Richardson got in some trouble going to 105 and a 60. That was not smart at all, and hopefully he learned from that. We will see. He said all the right things and seems to be repentant, shall we say. But yes, he's definitely the guy. I thought the defense looked better offensively. But this Montrell Johnson kid, we talked about him on First Coast News last night, that he was pretty impressive. He comes over with Billy Napier from Louisiana and had 838 yards last year. So, I mean, listen, after last year, if the Gators can have a running back over 800 yards, I think they'd sign, they would sign on the bottom line for that right now.
And how important do you think it's going to be for the Gators? Obviously, you know, it's important to have some sort of balance, but particularly for the way that Anthony Richardson's game is, how important is it for the Gators to have some semblance of a run game that can threaten a defense and maybe take some of the pressure off of Anthony Richardson having to make 30 or 40 throws a game?
I think it's just as important, along with the throws, that they would have to be looking for the run and not just be able to rush Richardson on every play. In other words, I think for Richardson, it's as much survival as it is anything else right now.
And obviously him staying healthy too is one of the more imperative things as well. Looking at some of the other SEC games, a lot, as you mentioned, over the course of the weekend, some that we'll get into here in a moment, but Georgia, Stetson Bennett, I think by all accounts, Kirby Smart says he is the guy, and without a doubt, there's no way that you cannot start the guy that just won you the national championship game. But Beck looked really good, and if Stetson slips up at all whatsoever, I feel like some of these Georgia fans may come knocking at Kirby Smart's door and say, hey, I know Stetson was great last year, but we need to make sure that we can defend our national championship.
See, it's going to be very important this year that they are able to find a backup for next year. Now, Carson Beck, who is from Jacksonville, was tremendous. Now, he just has, frankly, some intangibles that Bennett doesn't have. Now look, Bennett will be the guy. We have no doubt about that. But he is going to get pushed and should be by some of these other guys. Gunnar Stockton and Vandergriff will be interested to see where that goes. But, I mean, good grief, the whoever the quarterback's going to be, when you've got four tight ends as they do, I mean, it's just unbelievable, isn't it? Oscar Delp coming in has been good. Eric Gilbert was who we all know about.
Oh, boy, yeah, he was great.
He catches two touchdowns, and he had two pass interference penalties on him, which is another. So, I mean, that's a weapon very few people have. Is when you've got that many tight ends. And I think defensively that they will be okay. Jalen Carter is just a beast, and I think they will be fine. Nolan Smith coming back is tremendous. So, all in all, Georgia, I don't think we'll miss a beat. They open with Oregon and obviously Dan Lanning, so that's going to be interesting. Maybe Bo Nix at quarterback. We'll see. But, no, I think it's important that Georgia is able to develop a backup to Bennett. They're going to have it.
Yeah, and again, that tight end room, I think you could say without a doubt that tight end room may be the best in college football, because you look at Gilbert, you look at Bowers, who didn't even play in the game, and Delp as well. I mean, they are loaded at that tight end position.
I mean, you could do anything with these guys. I don't know. I don't think they're going to put four tight ends
yeah,
on the field at one time. But the reality of it is, if they wanted to, that they could do that. And all of them would be threats in catching the ball. I mean, Brock Bowers is just a wide receiver, frankly. I mean, he's just a different animal. And is very, very good. So, I know they had a little bit of rain there. Alabama did too. It was a tough day, all in all. But yes, the very few teams have the luxury. There are a lot of teams don't have one tight end, much less four or five.
Right, yeah, most definitely a good problem to have if you're Kirby Smart. Also with Nick Saban, one thing that stood out from the Alabama game is you got the newcomers and Jahmyr Gibbs and Jermaine Burton. Jahmyr Gibbs looks about as good as advertised. I mean, he's going to be a threat out of the backfield. Receiving, he's going to be a threat running the football as well. Don't want to go as far as to say, you know, he's going to be a Najee Harris type of talent. But, I mean, if that offensive line can continue to develop, Brent, I feel like Alabama's obviously going to be just as good as they normally are.
I think right now, again, your two best teams in the country are Alabama and Georgia. I think Ohio State's up there. I frankly think Alabama's best team in the country. And if you ask me to pick a national champion right now, I pick Alabama. The backups got to play. Milroe looked really good in the game. He has improved his passing considerably. Ty Simpson, I think, is going to be fine. And frankly, the first team passing attack was okay. I mean, it's hard to say you as a trophy winner struggle, but he's had better games. I'll put it that way. But you're right, Jahmyr Gibbs is really going to be a superstar with Alabama if he remains healthy. He gives them a different type of back, I think, than what they've got. But again, you know, Jermaine Burton coming in is going to be a real plus for the Tide. I mean, they've got everything. Pass rush, we think, is going to be off the charts. Frankly, well, Dallas Turner, Will Anderson in that bunch. Burroughs, I think, really stepped up and was impressive. On the hoof, when you look at this Alabama team, there are very few that it come close to, and maybe for Georgia, of having the raw talent that they do.
If you were to, so I was going to actually ask you this. If you were to pick a playoff right now, four teams, based on what you've heard or seen, who would your four be?
Oh, it'd be, that's easy for me. It's basically what Georgia, Ohio State. I'm not sure who the fourth one would be yet. I mean, it might be Clemson as a possibility. I don't know if Oklahoma is ready to be in that rarefied air there, but to me the top three are pretty easy. It's just picking that fourth one. And by the way, Miami had their spring game.
Yes.
Tyler Van Dyke is, I'm not going to say he's going to win the Heisman Trophy, but Tyler Van Dyke may be the best quarterback in the ACC. I mean, he's improved his game that much. But the problem with them is they're going to have to score 50 points because their defense may allow 52. they are not much, and they're very average on the D-line and linebackers. But I just want to throw that in there. But the Mississippi, this is almost amusing, but Mississippi State didn't have a game. They had storms and everything else, and the pirate, Mike Leach, just basically called it off. I think he was pretty happy about that. They may do I think he promised the fans an open scrimmage.
And it's this weekend. Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Well, and they should do that. You owe it to your fans to do something.
Oh yeah.
And have a game. This is what I never agreed with Mullen about last year at Florida. Is I think as much as anything else, and they blamed it on COVID, but I think the reality for that was, they just didn't want to show what they had or didn't have at quarterback, particularly with Emory Jones there. And I hope he lands on his feet. I think he's a great kid, and his skill set will go somewhere. But I think for the money these fans make and the effort they do to support their team, that, in the sport, something from their fan base.
Yeah, most definitely. Final thought I'm going to ask you about. So I don't know if you saw this, but Brian Kelly had some comments, and he basically said that there's more paths to a title at LSU than Notre Dame. If you look at on the face, at least of this year's schedule, Notre Dame had a better recruiting class. Notre Dame's got an easier schedule. Notre Dame still plays quality opponents. If they go undefeated, they're probably in. Does he have some merit in those comments, or do you think that there's as far as the path is concerned, it's more difficult because you got to go through Alabama and the SEC West, and then possibly Georgia in the SEC title game as well?
Well, I think what he's probably talking about, number one, he's trying to build up LSU. Sure. I think as much as being disparaging against Notre Dame, but I think what he's talking about is that what Notre Dame doesn't have, because they're not in the conference, is they don't have a championship game for the conference. And if you're in that game, if LSU gets in that game, they're basically probably in the playoffs, particularly if you win it. And I think he's probably thinking about SEC's the best conference, and they would draw the most attention and maybe get the most influence from it all. But at the same time, I mean, and I get the point to some degree, and he probably's got a decent point with that. But I'll say this too: at the same time, if you've got an undefeated Notre Dame or one loss Notre Dame, Notre Dame still has a lot of political power. Whether that committee is going to admit it or not, in a very good Notre Dame team, we'll get in a lot of people's mind the benefit of the doubt over a lot of teams.
And you could argue we've seen that a couple of times already. I did want to ask you one more thing: the SEC dominance, in baseball, and softball. I mean, we're obviously well into the season at this point, but you got Tennessee, who is playing really well, Arkansas representing the SEC inside of the top five. What things are you most excited about as we transition into the run into conference, deep into conference play as we get ready to go to Omaha as well here soon?
Well, I think Alabama and Florida are two best softball teams. The baseball is really incredible, frankly. I mean, even Alabama beat Tennessee last Friday night, which is a feather in their cap by four. Tennessee is an amazing team. Hopefully their manager is not going to knock out one of the officials at one point, like he gave him the chest bump the other day. Florida's still a little bit iffy. I'm still not quite sure what all that's about, frankly. But look, there's no doubt about that. There's actually no telling how many bids SECs can get in baseball.
Year in and year out, they are one of, if not the best conference when it comes down to baseball and softball. But Brent, appreciate the time as always. You have a good rest of the weekend. I'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, bud. Take care.
All right.